who you called, when you called them, where you made the call. From that type of data collected in mass can reveal an awful lot of information about you.
The United States of America has become the United States of surveillance, says former FBI agent Mike German, just one of many ex-intelligence agents fighting back against the eyes and ears of the NSA.
You have Democratic presidents, you have Republican presidents. We all want to know what everybody else is doing. Spying is in the American gene pool.
It may have started in our genes, but as Press TV reveals, it's become a big business.
It turns the whole world against us.
The battle is on between a government that believes it has a right to spy on everyone and a world that is fighting back.
This is the truth. This is what's happening. You should decide whether we need to be doing this.
America's surveillance state.
The National Security Agency was set up to keep America safe.
People you know from within our organization can also cause harm. This threat is called the insider threat. An insider is a trusted member of our organization, such as an employee or contractor, that intentionally causes harm.
It now seems obsessed with keeping itself safe.
If you see the following behavior, you should report it immediately to your supervisor or our security team.
Among the threats NSA and other government agencies are now facing are not the ones they first expected or prepared for. Insider threats. The NSA estimates that as many as 4,000 employees may not be trustworthy.
I was considered a rising star in my office, so it wasn't like I was the disgruntled employee.
Former NSA staffer Russ Tice says that after 9/11, the agency slowly turned on itself.
Matter of fact, when all this happened, my supervisor didn't even know what was going on. So when they yanked me out of my office, my supervisor was shocked and had no clue what was going on. So this insider thing that they're talking about, having basically employees snoop on other employees, that environment did not exist then.
But yeah, you must have been shocked to be singled out this way and be investigated.
I was, and they called me in for an emergency psych eval, and they bring this thing up and they say that I'm crazy because I think there could be a spy in the intelligence business, Lord forbid.
Here at their headquarters at Fort Meade in Maryland, the NSA mothership is well guarded in a cocoon of security against danger. Now, like other intelligence agencies, they are increasingly uptight, forcing employees to spy on each other. Here's an advisory from the U.S. Navy. NSA is run by a Navy admiral.
This is an unclassified brief on the insider threat. What is an insider threat? An insider who uses his or her access to harm national security interests or national security through unauthorized disclosure, data modification, espionage, or actions resulting in loss or degradation of resources or capabilities.
Here's another video, a dramatization produced for Homeland Security.
Would you recognize these situations as potential threats if they happened to you? Ted has been employed at his firm for 6 years. His firm's approaching a major security upgrade that has kept him working late into the evening, so he uses his lunch break to run a few errands close by the office. As he talks on his cell and walks back to his office, Ted notices a coworker, Doug Redman. Doug appears to have just handed a bulky folder to a man and then walked away.
This is a call for vigilance. If you see something, say something is its mantra. One unintended byproduct is that alarmist messages like this can intimidate employees into silence.
An unusual or alarming confluence of these situations may indicate a threat. You have the power to protect your workplace. If you see something suspicious from one of your coworkers, say something to your supervisor, human resources department, or your security officer.
Another insider who became a whistleblower says he was tagged when he began raising questions about spying on Americans. Former NSA executive Thomas Drake was threatened with prison.
Well, I was tagged early on as a problem because I was raising the gravest of concerns about NSA conduct shortly after 9/11. When I had that extraordinary encounter with the lead attorney in the Office of General Counsel, he said some very dark things in terms of what I was asking. I was saying, why are we in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act? It has criminal sanctions. He says, you don't understand. The lawyers, all the lawyers have looked at it. It's all, and the White House has approved it. And then he said the following, which threw me right back to the Nixon administration. It's all legal. And as soon as he said it's all legal, the hair standing up on the back of my neck, because this is precisely what Nixon separated himself from the special oath that he took, which is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution.
Both Drake and Tice tried to bring their concerns to the agency's attention, but got nowhere.
There's been a lot of buzz from some pundits on television saying, well, Snowden should have gone inside and shared his concerns instead of going to the public with these secret documents.
Those avenues don't exist. That chain of command, the DOD IG, NSA's IG, is totally in bed with the security office in the front office at Fort Meade in NSA. That's why I didn't even go to them. Matter of fact, back then I was friends with the deputy director of NSA, and I went to him, and he kind of acted like he didn't know what was going on when I talked to him very quietly in private. So I went to the DOD IG, I got nowhere. I went to the Merit System Protection Board only because I was a military veteran. If I wasn't a military veteran, they would have blown me off for that, because the intelligence service is exempt from the laws, from the Whistleblower Protection Act. They're exempt, and that's something you don't hear from these pundits when they're talking. They don't even bring that up. I don't even know if they know it themselves, but the Whistleblower Protection Act does not protect someone in the intelligence community.
What about Thomas Drake?
I became a whistleblower. And what I did in those weeks, months, and the next few years after 9/11 was use every available channel that was within the government to blow the whistle. And that included inside NSA, that included the Office of General Counsel, that included the Inspector General's office, that included obviously my supervisory chain.
But you did what you were supposed to do.
That included Congress, Department of Defense, and a number of others.
You did what you were supposed to do, go through channels. And Snowden didn't, and they're criticizing Snowden for not going through channels.
Well, he actually did go through channels. He's actually elaborated more on that in terms of detail. It's just that it never got anywhere. Andrea
Mitchell. Since our interview with Drake, Snowden spoke with NBC and revealed that he also tried to communicate with the NSA.
Now, I had raised these complaints not just officially, in writing, through email, to these offices and these individuals, but to my supervisors, to my colleagues, in more than one office. I did it in Fort Meade. I did it in Hawaii.
The NSA downplayed Snowden's charges, insisting they could only find one email of his. Later, NBC challenged that response and confirmed Snowden's story.
Look, the lawyer that I confronted in the Office of General Counsel, he warned me. He said, don't ask any more questions. You don't want to go there. And I chose to fight from within. Look, I was now eyewitness to the subversion of the Constitution. I was literally, my oath is on the line. I was not going to violate that oath. I was going to keep faith and allegiance to the oath. That oath is support and defend the Constitution. It's the idea of how to govern ourselves for all of its faults and foibles. Okay, historically, it is.
But you were warned, Tom.
I was warned. Yes, I was.
And.
But I wasn't going to stand silent and look away, because I'd be complicit.
Unlike Drake and other whistleblowers, Snowden released secret NSA documents. He decided that the only way to challenge them was to show the public what NSA was doing in its own words. Snowden didn't just dump secret documents to get them out. He sought out responsible journalists like Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras and tried to put them in context. He asked them to protect the names of agents. At first, Greenwald was too busy to encrypt his communications with Snowden and almost didn't get his big scoop.
The lesson of that story, you know, and the reason why I've proudly told it, is twofold. One is that here was somebody who, in retrospect, for very good reasons, was afraid to talk to me as a source coming to a journalist because he knew, unlike me at the time, the vast reach of this surveillance system. And so he would not talk to me or tell me anything about who he was or what he had until I installed encryption. And that's the broader point, is we talk a lot about the threat to privacy from the surveillance state, but how do you have a free press and engage in a healthy news gathering process when the government is monitoring people's communications and even collecting lists of everyone with whom we're communicating? And it sort of underscored the difficulty of doing journalism and speaking freely in an unencrypted environment.
Ironically, the NSA had for years lobbied to block encryption on the internet so they could more easily collect information. This very lack of protection later made it easier for Snowden to download their files, what is estimated at over 1 million documents, maybe more. Only Snowden knows for sure.
You know, the NSA was engaged in things like dumbing down encryption. You know, making sure that encryption wasn't as strong as it could be so they could break it. And then they complain that there's a cybersecurity issue out there. Well, of course, there's a cybersecurity issue because they've created a cybersecurity issue, building back doors into all these software programs.
The government was soon cracking down. Here's what happened to Thomas Drake after an article appeared exposing the NSA.
And as I found out later, then Vice President Cheney had simply issued the call, fine and fry the perpetrator, whoever, just fine and fry. I don't care who it is, make an object lesson of them.
Fine and fry.
So it's 2005, the article comes out, they launch this massive leak investigation. I knew when the article came out, no doubt there would be investigation. When the investigation was launched, I'd get caught up in it. Why? Very few people knew about the secret surveillance programs. They had really...
So what happens to you one morning at your house?
Well, it's now almost 2 years later, and I'm getting ready to go to work. It's November 28th. It's shortly after 7 a.m. I look out the window, and I see all these FBI agents streaming across the front yard. And, of course, you know, my heart's in my throat, and you know, the nightmare had begun. And I was facing 35 years in prison. 5 counts for espionage, 1 for obstruction of justice, 4 for making false statements to FBI agents. And now my name is splashed all over mainstream media and the alternative media.
Guilty?
Guilty in the court of public opinion at that time, because it was so rare for an American to be charged with espionage.
In the end, Drake was allowed to plead to a minor infraction and the charges were dropped. Russ Tice, who also challenged surveillance, was under surveillance.
I have the FBI following me around. You know, at first it was the black sedans, you know. And then, I got to a point almost where it's like every black sedan I saw, I thought, that's probably an FBI guy. And I realized I had to get out of that mentality too, because, you know, they're there, but not everybody out there is, you know, one of them. So, And I learned how to spot them. And now the shiny knight in armor is Ed Snowden, because what he was willing to do, the rest of us were not, was he was willing to fall on his own sword to do it. And we were not, mainly with the documentation that he's provided, because he's provided the proof, their documentation he's provided, which proves all the rest of us to be correct. And they cannot refute it now. They cannot.
So that took a lot of guts. And he was asked, what do you think is going to happen to you? And he said NG, standing for not good. He seems to be aware of the dangerous position he's in.
Well, yeah, especially if he looked at, you know, what happened to Mr. Drake. And anytime you put documents out there, and I find this interesting, because I've been on TV shows from way back, and they look at me and they say, oh, yeah, you can say that, but where's your proof? Where's your proof, you know? I said, okay, if I were to pull out the documentation right now, and it had a bunch of classification lines on it, and I could prove it with the documentation right here at this table, do you think that I'd make it out of this building without being shackled?
Motivated employees join institutions because they believe in their mission, but often when exposed to abuses, they turn on their agencies and become insider threats. How do they keep all these people in intelligence in line? We asked intelligence analyst Brad Summerall, who, like Ed Snowden, was an online network administrator, but in the military cleared for top secret information. What did he think drove Snowden to rebel?
Something got to him, you know. He was working in the NSA office where he also saw a lot of those things happen. Just like in the Marine Corps, you end up in the field out in, you know, the field where you see other things happen. You know, some things get to you, some things don't, you know. I'd imagine he had seen enough material that for whatever reason he felt he was upon himself that he was going to do what he was going to do.
To share it with the American people in some way to...
Yeah, and jump ship at the same time.
Yeah. But I guess it was a challenging and kind of gutsy or crazy thing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
But when people are on the inside, I mean, a lot of the people who are actually doing the technical jobs don't necessarily believe in the mission in terms of, you know, that what they're doing is really protecting the American people. And sometimes, you know, I mean, they feel like they begin to question it, let's say.
Well, I think it's sometimes depending on what situation you're in, you might begin to question yourself. Everybody found it a little bit curious that he did it with his position. I mean, he was taken care of very well. You know, there was a lot of other people working for the government that didn't get me making nearly that and would have certainly never have done it at the same time. I just think he felt he was removed in some way. That's about the only thing that I can imagine. Just a disconnect.
Right now they have going on what they call the insider threat program, where they're like terrified, thousands, 4,000 people on the list of potential insider threats. Seems to be a lot of paranoia in that world too.
Yeah, a lot. A lot of big checks were written in 2002.
Big checks?
Meaning money. You gave a lot of people a lot of jobs, and when you give somebody a job to do, they're going to do their job. They overstaffed a lot, over technology, over everything. So you just got this all this big money thrown in one direction, and everybody has to justify their cost.
Has all this money resulted in enhanced security? You would think so, but the former director of NSA, General Alexander, says that the U.S. is more at risk today than ever, perhaps because they overexpanded with inexperienced and overpaid people. He told an Australian newspaper, quote, "We're at greater risk. I can't measure it. You can't say, well, is that enough to get through? I don't know." If he doesn't know, who does? His solution, more spying. With so many people on the payroll, it's hard to control everyone. Staff members are not encouraged to think independently. The NSA has to keep track of them as well as the people they are spying on. Compounding the problem, NSA has outsourced, in effect privatized, so many of its programs, reports James Bamford, who writes about NSA. Quote, "The Snowden case demonstrates the potential risks involved when a nation turns its spying and eavesdropping over to companies with lax security and inadequate personnel policies." In any other country, the spying issue would be relegated to politics and the law. But in America, it has been embraced by popular culture, turning Snowden into a celebrity with his face on buses, comic books, and now action figures. Already, there are two Hollywood movies planned about his escapades. More ominous than the risks whistleblowers face are what's happened to the many victims of covert U.S. foreign policies whose fate has often been buried in secret documents that no one ever sees. That's why this National Security Archive exists, a not-for-profit library of formerly secret documents that details the hidden history of U.S. covert policy. Archive Director Tom Blanton showed us around their facility at George Washington University, just a few miles from the offices of the officials who initially kept these documents from being seen. We sat down in a room packed with boxes of formerly secret files.
We've been doing this for almost 30 years, and these are the documents that are still in paper form. Now, almost everything we get, we get it digitally or we convert it to digital as soon as it comes in the door.
So this is the real underlying documentation of scandals that most Americans don't even remember.
Well, every few years, you know, the a meteor hits the Yucatan or a window pops open of scandal, and then people go, wow, really? That's what you see back there? That's what's happening right now with Edward Snowden. It's sort of like the curtain came up and we were, really? Is that what's going on back there?
Snowden's courage in releasing these documents has introduced maybe a whole new generation, perhaps through the mass media, the American people, once again, to what their government is doing in their name.
I think the real impact of those Snowden revelations was to show a series of lies by the government. I mean, if you went through the Church Committee investigations or Iran-Contra, you're used to the fact that the government can routinely lie. But I think on this surveillance stuff, to have the head of national intelligence look into the camera and say, no, sir, we're not collecting data on millions of Americans. 2 months later, it turns out he's lying through his teeth.
If the American people really knew and understood what was going on, they wouldn't support it.
That's an open question, because the main thing the American people seemed not to support of all the surveillance was just the hoovering up of all the phone calls, the big metadata collection system where every phone call for the last 5 to 8 years sits to, from, date, time, length, sits in a set of computers out at Fort Meade, Maryland. The other parts of the surveillance state, though, it seems like the American people do support or would support if it's targeted directly at keeping them safe. And I think that was the objection to the phone call program that Snowden revealed, because not only was it scooping up everything, it had no connection at all to really fighting terrorism.
You know, at the same time, we've lived in a society, and incidents like 9/11, of course, have contributed to this, that's very fearful, that's kept on the edge of, paranoia. There's always an enemy out there that's after us, that's coming after us. And many Americans are, because of that, willing to justify or finance or support efforts that actually undercut their own freedom.
Well, I think Americans got to keep asking the question, are we safer in the dark? And about these surveillance programs, we were not safer in the dark. In fact, we weren't being protected from terrorism, and the government was rapidly expanding its power and collecting everything it could.
We were also shown documents the archive now has online. They received tens of thousands of requests from researchers and the public for documents and reports. They have had up to 3 million independent views.
So we've been collecting all the documents published by anybody from the Edward Snowden leak. So the Washington Post, Guardian, everybody, Glenn Greenwald, all the folks publishing, putting them together with the historical documents about the wiretap controversies, about the previous debates, and then publishing them. So we've done the first collection. This is about.
We can now add the National Security Archive to the other insider threats the government faces. As investigative reporters, they were once outsiders, but now they have moved inside a prestigious university to ensure that the revelations of whistleblowers become a legitimate part of history and not so easy to whitewash or forget. Today in America, nearly 5 million people have security clearances. Nearly a million have access to top secret documents. It's a big industry that seems to be getting bigger every day, and yet parts of that industry are pushing back.
They are already pressing the government to disclose way more about how many times the government asks them for data, how much data they have to give over, what are the restrictions on them. We know a ton more about those transactions today after Snowden, not because Snowden leaked them, but because the companies are pushing back against the government.
The insider threat is not new or likely to disappear. Edward Snowden was not the first, nor will he be the last. And there's more to come from the documents Snowden made off with, including the names of people NSA has spied on. Even as some establishment journalists turn on Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden, former whistleblowers like Daniel Ellsberg, the one-time Vietnam military officer who leaked the Pentagon Papers, rush to their defense.
Well, I think he did a great benefit to this country by letting us know what the National Security Agency, the NSA, is doing for the president under both administrations, namely intervening in the privacy of every communication of every American who has an electronic device. It's very hard to imagine a democracy really surviving long with the government having that kind of ability to blackmail any given person.
Ellsberg also embraced the case of military whistleblower Bradley, now Chelsea Manning, who released secret documents and this video on alleged war crimes in Iraq.
Come on, fire.
He's a credit to human beings, as a matter of fact, for being concerned not only about American lives and American security, but about what we were doing to foreigners, to Iraqis.
Now, Ellsberg and other whistleblowers have joined hands to encourage more whistleblowing through a website called exposefacts.org that can securely receive anonymous leaks, precisely what the government fears could lead to even more insider threats. That's one look into the future. Coming up next, we will have other forecasts, including Edward Snowden's, in the final episode of our documentary series, America's Surveillance State.